Boy, it feels good up here, I'm telling you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, our next speaker, my dad, Roy Waldrop, pastor at the Fletcher First Baptist Church, brought us up in church. Brother Allen, if we was breathing, we was at church. Even tried to play hooky and it didn't work. I tell you, God rescued me from a life of drugs. I was drugged to church every time I turned around. Well, there's a few times I didn't want to be there, and I thought I'd hinder the Spirit of God, and it didn't work. He blessed in spite of me. Amen. Amen. All right, Dad, you come on, preach to us. Whatever God's put on your heart, we're so thankful you could come and be here today. Love you.
Amen. What a privilege and honor it is to be part of this service today. I'm so proud and so thankful to be here. Amen. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Kind of catching on what the psalmist is saying. So praise the Lord. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. I'm honored to be here, and I thank God for what He's done. This beautiful place. And being a pastor, I know what Darren has been through the last 15 or 16 months, whatever. If you've never been there, you don't understand the pressures, and all seems like the load's on you. And Jesus is their load bearer, I know, but it has been worth every mile of the trip. Brother Allen, I really appreciate that message. Thank God for the Word of God. And I so enjoyed that. And I'm going to preach a message this afternoon entitled, The House of God, Part 2. We'll look at putting the house of God in perspective through the Word of God, through the eyes of the Scripture. And to start with, we'll go back to Genesis 28. You don't need to read it. He's already read that before us in our hearing. But that's the first place God used that terminology in His Word, the house of God. And when you go to the first place God used the word or terminology, you can start there and just move in many directions. So I'm not going where you went. We're going a different direction. That's a good thing about it. When you start right, boy, the opportunities are endless. And did you know that anything worth anything is centered around the house of God?
Amen.
It's a good measurement for your life.
Yeah.
Check up on your life. If it's not centered close to word of, to the house of God, nothing good's going to come of it. Because anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. Jacob found that out, did he not? Jacob was wandering. He thought he was headed somewhere, but the Bible says he lighted out. It means he was entreated. It means a supernatural power, God, let the darkness run out, let the sunlight run out on him, and there he found himself in that place. I want to look at the characteristics of that place, and then we'll move on. He so enlightened us on that, most of it, but just a couple extra things that kind of really spoke to my heart about the house of God as Jacob found it. It was a place there in the barren wilderness, and there wasn't a bed, there wasn't anything, but there was a rock. And rocks, he took stones and pillowed his head there. And the head is kind of like the point of direction or the part of you that can surrender to God. It all begins in your heart. And there we find, the Bible says, that place was called Luz at the first, which means separation. Did you know the house of God is a place to separate yourself from all the activities? Oh, he had his brother after him. He didn't know where he was going. He'd never been there before. But it was a place of separation. But thank God, before he left that place, some things changed. We saw from Brother Allen's message how God speaks to us in the house of God. What better place in the world to go than the house of God to hear God speak? And then we saw the ladder ascending. But I want to look next at the fact that some changes took place before he left there. Oh, when you come to the house of God, you know what the house of God means? It means a meeting place where God found him where he was, and the God of all eternity met him there. You ever get lonely and can't get a prayer through to God sometimes? Seems like, as David says, the heavens have become brass. I tell you what works for me. It probably would you too. I just slip away sometimes 3 or 4 in the morning. It doesn't matter. I go to the house of God. It's not too crowded at that time of night. But I never have failed to find God there. You know why? It's his house. Now I know God's in the heavens, but he's also everywhere. And he puts a special emphasis on his house. I want to share some scripture with you today that will help us bring the point of the house of God in biblical perspective. I realize today that the Bible says we're temples of the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, he still has a house. And God says he put special emphasis on that house. He did at that place at Bethel. Why, it was a place of changing. Jacob says, I came here as a vagabond, but I'm leaving with a new direction. The God of all heaven spoke to me, and now I've got some clear insight. I have a vision. I know my purpose in life. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just make a vow to God that since you have met me here, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take those stones, which I pillowed my head on, and I'm going to make a personal place and a personal testimony. I'm going to erect those stones as a pillar, a marker, a memorial. You know, I can take you back to the place. My brother is here today in Zion Baptist Church. Memorial spot to me. The God of the house met me there that Sunday night. And I could take you within a few inches of where I knelt down to pray. I have a memorial there. So he said, I'll just put a pillar after it's anointed. God always does anointing. And I'll erect those stones as a pillar to remind me in my life. God's big on memorials, is he not? He told the children of Israel, as you're crossing through, and I parted the sea for you, and I parted the Jordan River, I want you to go down there and get 12 stones and put them on the heap and tell your children and your children's children what meaneth these stones. God has visited us. He is, when there was no way, he became the way. He parted the waters. He stood in front of us with the ark. He was there as we were all passing by, and he picked up the end. He under him. He's over him. He said, I'll just let that God be my God. And I'll give him 10% of everything he has given me or will give me. There's a change in my life because of the God of the house met me then. Would you turn your Bibles, please, on over to the book of Kings? We'll be reading some scripture this afternoon. Some beautiful scripture about the house of God. Some characteristics of that place, some changes that occurred at that place. And then some charges that God had given his people. And we are his people. Some charges that God has given us concerning his house. I'd just like to put in perspective some things God has said. Because I've always found out in my life, if I listen to him and follow him, I get blessings. Did not he tell the children of Israel as they were wandering in the wilderness? He said, I want 6 of the tribe leaders to go on that mountain and 6 on that mountain. And as you all pass by, and we all pass through this life, you holler out and let them hear in their ears, if you serve me, I'll bless you. But if you don't serve me, I'll curse you. Which do you choose? And so they said, many of them, we will serve thee. Well, God has charged us and told us how he will bless our heart. Commanded by God in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 6. See, this house, the Lord's house, didn't just happen here. It was a command of God. People listen. 1 Kings 5 and verse 5. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord, my God. As the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. So Solomon says, this thing didn't start with me. My father prepared much of the gold and silver and much of the belongings. But I know I have a charge of God. And I believe the church here at Bethel and the pastor has a charge from God to build this house. This house that we call the house of God. To worship Him, to bring honor and praise unto Him. And then he continues in Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Did you realize that to whom much is given, much is required? Now God's blessed you. He's given you resources. He's given you a beautiful building. But listen now, we're looking at some charges God has made concerning His house. And there is an accountability that goes along with it. In Luke 12, verse 42, For unto whom much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. God has given us much. He's given us of heaven's best. He gave us His Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave you a mind and a will. He gave you an intellect. And He gave us the precious Word of God. He's given us much. So God expects much in return. We ought to make sure that on the Lord's Day and every other time the doors are open, we're found present in His house, the house of God. Paul says that we ought to assemble ourselves and not forsaken in the manner some have. See, don't go after some. Raw is a way that leads to destruction, but few are the ones that go into straight and narrow. And mind God, not man. And then he tells us that in 1 Chronicles, look at this please, 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 5. Solomon took heed. He's starting to build a house. He has no choice. God says, build a house. And when God tells you to do something, just get on with it. Solomon determined in his heart to build a house for the Lord. And then he thinks God has given him that desire, and he has. God provided all the resources, and he did. He said, I'm going to think big about God. You know, our thoughts are too little about God sometimes in His house and His work. I want you to notice the attitude that Solomon had toward his God. 2 Chronicles 2:5. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Oh, if you'd got to go to Solomon's temple, the one that God had said build. And like he said, this is beautiful here, but it's not anything compared to what he's got over there. But it sure is good for the journey down here. You see, I'm not home yet, just a pilgrim and stranger passing through. This world is not my home. Don't get all packed down. But at the same time, while we are here, we're held accountable for some things. And those accountabilities, we're held accountable to follow God and for having the right attitude about the house of God. And I've heard people say, well, it's just a house. It's just a house out of stained glass windows and pews. Oh, that's not what Solomon said. Let's read it together what Solomon said in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And let's read verse 4 and 5. Behold, I build an house to the name of the Lord my God. See, that's what made it so big. He wasn't building it for himself. He was building it for the name of the Lord his God. He was building it because he was charged to build it. So he says to dedicate it to him. And that's what we're doing this afternoon. It's his, belongs to him. He just wants us to realize that. So we say, God, it's yours. And we're just making sure that we dedicate to you. What's already yours belongs to you. Well, it's God's house. He gave charge of it. He gave the provisions. He gave everything that we need. And now we just do as Solomon did, and we dedicate unto the Lord. Behold, I build an house in the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate to him and to burn before him sweet incense. What's that sweet incense? We don't have that. Let's just stop a minute and look at the sweet incense. Anybody got sweet incense today? Didn't have it on my menu, did you? Well, the sweet incense is prayers of a saint. Have you been praying about this service? Have you been praying about this house? Have you been praying that, God, you gave us a great place. Help me be accountable for it and make much of the Word of God. Make sure I never stumble and never fall. Make sure I live a life before others that they can see my good works and give you glory, honor, and praise so they will want to follow me and say, where did that man go to church? I wonder. I know he's a Christian, but the way he acted, he can't have that kind of attitude if you don't go to church somewhere. And then when they hear you go to Bethel or wherever you go, they might say, I think I'll try that place. But on the contrary, if they see you out there and you're quarreling and you're fussing and nothing goes wrong, they'll say, where did he go to church? Could you tell me where they went to church? I want to make sure I don't go there. Your attitude is so important. I saw this thing up here before and I was wondering, you know, is this a eject button? You know, if you push that button, if I don't do right. I've been in this church many times that were in building. I never saw that before. But our attitude, you know, if somebody could come up with, and it's already been figured out, man just can't get hold of it, a way to adjust people's attitude. I mean, they got new inventions every day and people are getting rich. But most people have an attitude, and I'm talking about a bad attitude, but there's a way to adjust it. You know what it is? I'll give you a hint. It's found in the house of God.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. If you go to the house of God and want to meet the God of the house and listen to the Word of God in that place, your attitude will get adjusted. Yeah. You'll live for Jesus every day of the week. You'll want to make sure and know that people are following you, people are listening to you, they're observing you, what you say, how you look, and they will want to follow you to the house of God on a Sunday morning on the Lord's Day. But we continue reading that verse. We dealt with the sweet incense and for the continual shewbread. Oh, I don't see any bread here, but is there bread here today? Hey, Jesus is the bread. Always fresh. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end. And the pastor's already quoted, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst. So we have the sweet incense, the prayers of the saints, and we have the shewbread. We continue. And for the continual shewbread and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening. I didn't see any calves tied up or any lambs out there. Where are the offerings? Oh, I know where they are. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself an offering to God, a sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's all done in the house of God. And he says, we've got the shewbread, we've got the sweet incense, and we've got the offerings. He continues. In that fourth verse, the last part. And on the new moon, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God, this an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. You know, this house is far more important than your house. You may live in a house that's bigger than this. Your house is not as important as this is. This is built for the name of the Lord and to God. It's built and dedicated to Him. It's a great place. Great is our God and great is His house. It belongs to our Father. It's His house. And my brother and I, we go to visit Hot Springs. My mother and dad, our mother and dad's still living, and sometimes they aren't there, but we always know where the key is. And when they are there, do you know, my brother and I could all agree on this, I know, have you ever went there and knocked on the door? I don't. I just go on in. House belongs to my Father. And my Father always welcomes me in His house. I know I'm welcome. So when you come to the house of God, you know you're welcome because He says, bid them come in that my house may be filled. Go out in the highways and hedges and invite them in that my house may be filled. God is big on His house. Verse 6. But who is able to build an house, seeing the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house save only to burn sacrifice before him? So he has done exactly what God bid him to do. So the house of God is built. We have been given much, and much is required. And then there is silence. So I want to go back to the building program. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, and the house when it was in the building was made of stone. Made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. You know, this house of God took 7 years to build. 7 is God's perfect number. And they had quarries. And if you've ever been over there, you see some of the stones that's been thrown over. But I don't know how they got those large stones from the quarry there. But I do know this. When they got them there, every one fit just like it was supposed to fit. There was no rejects. There was no squaring it up or saying this doesn't fit. You know why? God gave the pattern thereof. And when we follow God's pattern, everything fits. Would you turn, please, to the New Testament? And let's see what God has in store for us. We're going to look at some scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. And we're talking about stones. We have brick on this building. That place was made of stones. But could it be that he's referring as a stone? We've already saw a stone when we started the message, and Brother Ellis started the message. There was a stone, and of course, Jesus says, I am the rock. Upon this church, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 6. In whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know, this church, I'm sure it's got a great foundation, but the real foundation of this, because it's God's house, is a chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then he says, we're lively stones. We are stones. Let's keep reading, if you'll turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and as the household of God, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. See, God has a house, and God has people in the house. And he's a chief cornerstone, and we are lively stones. And when you think about it, those lively stones represent you and I. Now, it's so good to come to the house of God and hear the Word of God, and the conviction power of God comes over our hearts, and we worship and we adore him, and then in the house we get right with God. Wouldn't it be better if all week long we let the Holy Ghost chip away on us? You see, we're lively stones. Set apart, separated, for the Master's use. Sanctification should take place. At the music you listen to and the places you go, that you have to come in the house of God to get whittled on. But wouldn't it be good if all week long we listen to the right music and read the right word and do the right witness and then do the right thing, so when we come here, God's already whittled us down to size and we all fit together. And there will be no confusion and there will be no confounding. We're all lively stones. And the Master is the one that has chosen us. He's got the pattern. So we don't wait till you come to the house of God to get your life right. It's a week-long process. Amen. Paul says, I died daily. The things that I would not, that I do. The things I do, that I would not. Oh, wretched man that I am. I died daily. And so it's a daily process of saying, Lord, forgive me. He said, I'm your advocate if we sin. And if, when we sin, we have an advocate, Christ Jesus. And so we ask forgiveness all during the week. And then we come to the house of God for worship and learning more about the house of God. Ephesians 4, 15 and 7 through 17. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. And notice some words in there. Fitly compacted and joined together. Seems like it's a contradiction of terms. Today people want to get bigger and they want to get bolder and they want to increase. But that's not God's way. He says, I want to take your life and do some whittling down and compacting. You ever heard the terminology, too big for your britches? I'm an old country boy. Or he's got the big head. Well, God wants to whittle us down so we all fit where he wants us to be. Jointly fit together. And he sends every person that's needed in the house of God. He supplies everything that's needed. All we need to do is make ourselves available for the master's use. Once we do that, then he takes every joint and makes it fit together. So we see the Lord has given us charges concerning his house and the worship thereof and their attitude. Then another thing I want to notice is that 7 years, that's a long time, is it not? A lot of you may have become impatient, you know, supposed to have your church maybe a little faster. An old preacher helped me once I first started preaching. I called him up and said, I'd like you to come preach a revival for us if you would. And he started a conversation. He said, well, when? So we worked that out. He said, how's your church doing, young man? He called me young and I was in my early 40s. I thought that was a compliment. And I said, well, we're growing slow. He said, good. I said, well, I like to grow a little faster. He said, let me ask you something. You know anything about farming? I know something about farming. That was my livelihood. We grew up on the farm. I know a little bit about farming. He said, if you plant a grain of corn, and if tomorrow you come up and that grain of corn is knee high, I say, I'll be looking at it a little funny. And then the next day it's waist high, and the next day it's tasseling. The next day it's got an ear on it, and the next day the silks are drying out, and pretty soon it's ready to eat. Would you eat it? I said, no, sir. He said, why? I said, it's not natural. He said, son, be careful for these churches. They're fast growing. You see, this temple took 7 years. You know why? They were following the pattern. Seven's God's perfect number. And the seventh year, they went in and it was ready to occupy. If they had cut corners and went in early, the God of the house wouldn't be there. A lot of people want to cut corners and they want to do it their way. But see, God works at us chipping away. And when God gets us ready and when we're made available, then we'll be meet for the master's use. So these stones were dressed so they could be fitly clothed together. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1, let's read this chapter. And that was just a preliminary message. We're now down to the heart of the message, and we'll be finished in just about 10 or 15 minutes. Verse 1, chapter 5, 2 Chronicles. Thus, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold and all the instruments, put he among the treasures of the house of God. And you, people, are his treasures. Oh, you're not what you will be. He hasn't got you on display yet, but he's still working on you, is he not? And we're going to be on display to him. So on dedication day, they all came in and they were all in one accord, ready to go to the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel into Jerusalem, which means city of peace, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Oh, it's important to get the Ark of the Covenant there.
Amen.
That's God.
Amen.
See, this house is beautiful, and it is his, and we dedicate to him. And if you dedicate right and you live right and you do it for him, it becomes his house. And you sure have to have God in his house.
Amen.
Or else it's just an assembly. So they want to make sure that they bring up in the right way the God of the house to the house. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves to the king and the feast, which was in the seventh month. I don't know if I read that right. Let me go back. Wherefore all the men. I wonder if we got everybody here. They were so excited about the things of God, they all went. Can you believe the audacity? Everybody dropped everything they were doing and give up their ball games and give up their parties and on and on for the house of God. Can you imagine? What kind of society was that? But that's what it said, wasn't it? And all the people. You know why? They had an attitude right. We have a great house and a great God. And there's nothing better we can do with our time or our resources than to go up to the house of God.
Amen.
And no matter what we had planned, we're going to drop it all and we're going to go join the happy occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be worshiped and praised. And all the elders of Israel came and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels. And you're the holy vessels. That were in the tabernacle, this did the priests and the Levites bring up. We're skipping down. Verse 11. Now it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified. That's another interesting word. Every one of the priests, did you know you're a priest unto him? Sanctification means being set apart. All sins forgiven. All iniquities under the blood. Set apart, nothing between you and the Savior. My favorite song, it just pricks my heart every time I hear it. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
And when I start thinking it's not well with Wall Street, it's not well with my health, maybe it's not well with others, but thank God it's well with my soul.
Amen.
I've been set apart. I've been sanctified by His blood. I've been forgiven of all my sins.
Amen.
What better thing to do than just to go up to the house of God.
Amen.
To meet the God of the house. So they all went. Verse 12. Also the Levites. Verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. I don't know the hearts of everybody that was in the choir. And perhaps, and I hope that all hearts were as one. Nobody had anything against anyone. That you loved them more than you loved yourself. But could it be that if that were the occasion and that was what was happening, wonder what God would think about that. I bet he'd show up in his house, don't you? All as one. Why? Because it wasn't about them. It was about the God of the house to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good.
Amen.
I mean, as they were going there, they got their hearts as one, all instruments in tune, and them in tune. Sounds like they'd kind of been whittled down and everybody was fitting where they ought to fit. And then when they didn't look at each other, and when they wouldn't look at anything else, they were looking at the goodness of God and says, whoo, for He is good. For He is good. And after they made that proclamation, and his mercy endureth forever, that the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Boy, when God sees our tears and he smells the sweet incense, the prayers of the saints, and he sees people on the altar offering themselves a sacrifice to be used of him, when he sees people taking up the cross and following him, and all are as one, and God has whittled you down and let all sins be under the blood, then your heart's right, your attitude's right, and you go up to the house of God. For God is good and his mercy endureth forever. And before you could turn around, God had showed up and filled the house with a cloud. The precious worship of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants to do. A manifestation of the glory of God in his house. Lastly, we're going to see some things God has ordained in his house. It brought up the ark. And they had done everything God expected them to do, and God showed up in the house. That was just the first service. Can't imagine the second, the third, and the fourth. It's just an endless process. I want to look at some things that brother was talking about, the house of God. I just started thinking about some things that ought to be going on and can go on and does go on in the house of God. First of all, an attitude that says, this place, this house is above every other house, and this place is a place where I access the blessings of God. This house is a place of beauty, a place of birth. God wants to birth new families in the house of God. This is a place where all my burdens can be lifted. This is a Bethel spot. This is a house of God. This is a chosen place, a place where I can call on the name of the Lord, a place I find comfort, a place I find contentment, a place I find compassion, a place where the convicting power of God convicts hearts of their sins. This is a place of delight and a place of destiny. This is a place of enrichment, a place of endless beauty. This is a place of faith, a place where fear is replaced with the love of God, a place of fulfillment, a place of fragrance and the fruit bearing. It's a place where we learn to follow God. And he says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. You learn how to follow him in the house of God. It's a place where God dwells. It's God's house. Place of gentleness, goodness, grace, and the glory of God is manifest. This is the house of God. This is a place where we find instructions and where we understand our inheritance. Oh, children, it's so much better farther on. And God has laid that for us. All the things that we need, and you'll find instructions about that. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You'll find joy in the house of God. It's a place of jubilation. And he says, my house is a house of judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God. It's a place of kindness. This is a house of a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a place where I learn to lean. It's a place of long suffering, a place of love. It's a house of the Lord. It's a place of mercy, a place of tenderness and meekness. It's a place of manifestation, manifold, many, different size and shapes. It's the meeting place. The old timers would use this phrase, let's go down to the meeting house. And the meeting house is where I go to meet with the God of the house. This is a place where nobodies can become somebodies. It's a place that we find nourishment. It's a place where we understand God has ordained it. And it's a place where we can be overcomers, victorious. Jesus said, my house is a house of prayer. It's a house to preach and to praise God. A house of peace, possibilities, purpose, and all sinners can obtain pardon. It's a place where questions are answered. You have a question, God has the answer. It's a place where God reveals himself. It's a place of refuge. And it's a place of refinement. God's house is a place of reverence. God's house is a place where people find sanctification and service. We get strength in God's house. It's a place where the shepherd teaches us to follow him, and he is shepherding his sheep. It's a place of training and of tenderness. It's a place of understanding. It's a place of unmerited favor. It's a place where victory has been won at Calvary. It's a place of worship. It's a place of winning the lost and majoring on that. It's a place where the young learn how to yield to Christ Jesus for the perfect will of God. It's a place where the zeal of the Lord performs his work. It's a place where Zion travails. This is the house of God that God instilled and God built and God occupies, and we dedicate it to him.
That was a plenty, wasn't it? Tell you what's on my heart to do. It won't work unless you're obedient. If he speaks to you about it. While he's preaching there, God got on me about that, presenting yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I sat in there and the Lord said, I want you to give the invitation again. I want some of them just to lay on that altar, just present themselves that living sacrifice. I sit right there and I said, now, Lord, if I do that, there's a lot of folks don't go to Bethel. It's here today, and I sure am glad they're here. Lord said, they're going to help you. That's why I sent them here. They're going to help you. Hey, some of them, I want them to lay on that altar too. You may never be back in this place. I don't know. You may travel from afar to be here. Brother Allen, I want you to come play again. I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you if you personally, would dedicate yourself to wherever you serve, to the house of God. You'd come down this altar. You'd bow up these aisleways, along these walls, in this choir loft, wherever you need to come. And I'm asking you, would you help me? Would you pray? Hey, hey. Brother Shane. Preacher, I've been to that altar two or three times already. Boy, ain't it a good day. We get to go again. Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus, we do come bow before you, Lord. God, as humbly as we know how. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these that's made their way, Lord, to this altar. Lord, to present themselves a living sacrifice, God, holy and acceptable. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you'll hear their prayers. And God, I come before you, Lord. Lord, just lifting my heart and my life up to you. Lord, asking, Father, your will be done. Lord, we know if we do anything of our own, Lord, we'll mess it up. But God, if we'll just yield to you in your perfect way, Lord. Lord, you know what's best for us. Lord, you knew us before we were formed in the womb, God. And Lord, you have our best interests at hand. God, I pray that you'd help us day by day that, Lord, not just on Sundays, but Lord, Monday through Saturday, that Lord, we'd live a life before you and before our fellow man. God, where they might see Christ living in us. Lord, that we might point them to you and that we might invite them to the house of God. Lord, I sure do thank you from the bottom depths of my heart for the house of God Lord, will you send old-time Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, to show me that I was lost in need of a Savior. Lord, where your Spirit abounded, and Lord, where Jesus was waiting with open arms to, Lord, to take an old sinner like me who deserved hell. Take me in His arms and forgive me, God. I praise You and thank You for that today. Lord, I just thank You, Lord, that You've allowed me just to be in Your presence, Lord, with Your people today. And I pray for each person, each need, Lord, each church that's represented, each man of God. I pray for him, Lord. Help us, Lord, in our daily walk with Thee, that, Lord, we might draw closer to You, Lord, that we'd allow You each day, Lord, to whittle on us just a little bit more, to keep molding on us, God, that come Sunday, Lord, we'd be fit, Lord, we'd be ready to come into Your house and into Your presence, Lord. Lord, that You'd meet with us, that we could worship and praise You, Lord, in spirit and truth. Lord, we just thank You again for this day, for this place, for these people. Lord, I pray, God, if there's one here, Lord, for whatever reason, they're here. Lord, maybe it was curiosity, I don't know. Lord, You know all hearts. I pray, God, if there's one here, and Lord, You've dispatched the Holy Spirit to them, and Lord, You're dealing with their hearts, God, and they don't know. Lord, they don't know that their name's been written down up there. I pray, God, Lord, You'd just afford them a little space of grace where they could come, Lord. Come down here and call upon the name of Jesus to save them before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. We praise You because You're worthy. And we just want to give You all the honor and glory, Lord, for You and You alone are worthy. And all these things we ask in the precious name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.